this music fits the weather, don't you?
I don't even care about the weather anymore. Yes, I am so with you.
Hi, everybody. It's us. It's Bill and Wendy. Wendy?
Yes. I was wondering if you had fun at the Met Gala last night. Or do you say gala?
I said gala because I didn't think they'd let me in if I said gala because I wanted to sound more sophisticated, so I went with gala.
Do you say gala apples or gala apples?
Gala apples.
I say gala.
Yeah.
You can also say gala.
Yes. There's the third option. Thank you, Mary. It's so true.
What a bunch of goofy-looking people.
The apples or the people at the Met Gala?
I mean, that's just the craziest thing.
I don't understand this at all. And I heard Dean Richards talking with Steve Cochran about Katy Perry wearing the chandelier
dress.
All I could think of was Carol Burnett coming down with the curtain rod.
Yes.
That's exactly it.
Yes.
In the Gone with the Wind parody on the Carol Burnett show. Well, they go out of their way. I mean, it's no. Here's a shocker from the world of fashion. The game here is to outdo everybody else. That's the tradition at the Met Gala Gala Gala.
What is the purpose of the Met Gala Gala Gala?
I think it's a big charitable fundraiser.
It is. It is.
For the Metropolitan Museum of Art?
No, for charities, I think. I don't think it's for the museum.
I don't know the answer to that.
How much is a ticket, I wonder? $30,000 per person. Or if you want a table, $275,000.
That's your best value.
Is that your place to go to be seen and to be the who's who of what's what or what's not?
Something like that. I can't imagine. I mean, I know it's going to charity, so that's good news.
It is going back to the Met for their charity.
It is.
Yeah.
But imagine spending that much to do anything.
If you had that much and you were a celebrity, I think you'd want to be seen there.
I would have to have that much times 100 so that wouldn't take a dent out of me, you know?
And forget what they say about bridesmaid dresses. This one you never could wear again.
Never.
Although, this would be a perfect opportunity for you to debut your tuxedo baseball cap.
Oh, all right.
Made of the same material that a tuxedo for dress-up occasions.
Right. Sometimes you gotta dress your best, but you still want to feel a little casual, so it's the tuxedo baseball cap. You're right. I need a celebrity or two to get behind that. One of the Hadads.
Hadids.
Hadid Hadad.
I don't know
any of
these people. One of the Jonases.
Jonasi. One of them.
Oh, the Jonas Brothers, yeah.
I think they're the Jonies.
The Jonies.
$30,000 per person. Oh, my God.
What do you get? What does that include?
The price of entry for the Met Gala.
Just to show up.
Add a gown by a designer, which can cost $35,000. Some jewelry. You get a heck of an expensive evening.
Now, is it jacket required?
Yeah.
Yes.
Because Steve and I want to wear tank tops next year.
Quite honestly, if you decorate it in some way with feathers or something, perhaps you
can
do it. Buy
into that.
Funds raised at the Met Gala about over $12 million. Last year's event raised over $12 million.
Wow.
That's
a lot of money.
It's been held for 73 years, since 1948.
Were any of the original attendees there last night? None of them?
No.
That's too bad.
And, wow, that's just too much.
So you get, I'm hoping, you get your choice of appetizers, soup, salad, probably.
I don't think you get a choice of anything.
Dinner.
Do you get any favors?
Mary.
Yeah, like a favor, you know, you get
the
a
thing
wedding
you blow into.
I think the favors come afterward.
I don't know, this is from fortune.com, and they do not have any information about goodie bags.
Is it one of those events where people line up outside to watch the limos pull up and the celebrities dressed in chandelier garb come out? Is there a red carpet type thing?
Well, there certainly is for the press, so
there would have to be, right?
Yeah.
The Met Ball, or Met Gala, is the fashion world equivalent of the Oscars.
Mm.
It's no James Beard Award, I'll tell you
no,
that.
No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
No,
Jared
it
Leto
isn't.
Holding his own head. Did you see that?
Yeah.
So what ideas do you turn down when you go with that one? what ideas did somebody suggest to you that then you go, nah, I need something a little juicier than that? Thanks.
Is the deal to be more outlandish than the next person or to demonstrate a fashion that's going to happen? Because who's going to wear their head on a plate?
I don't think anyone has the intention of these fashions taking off. Chandelier dresses are not going to be all the rage in 2019.
2028?
Yeah, a couple years down the line, but not immediately.
Who gets invited to the Met Gala? The world's best achievers in all the spheres of music, film, Broadway, and fashion, as well as simple supernova personalities. The list changes each year. The dress code is anything you want.
Well, it says,
dress codes vary. If you're Kanye West and Kim, you come in your own matching silver jacket and dress. If you're Beyonce, you wear something that's a big statement.
So,
what if you're Corey Feldman?
Naked.
I don't think you get invited.
I think someone should just go naked one time.
Right.
Right? I mean,
would that
point
be a
out
shock?
The excess? Yeah, that'd be a shocking fashion statement.
I guess so.
We need to take a quick break. We have an emergency alert system test, an EAS test.
It's Bill F. It's Wendy Snyder. We're at 312-981-7200 if you want to call us or text us.
How's your bagel?
Bagel's pretty good. Thanks for asking. It's the birthday bagel from Joe from the morning show. Yesterday at this time, we were talking about the royal baby. Meghan Markle had a baby. Now, here we are 24 hours later, and the baby is still unnamed, which makes me ponder this question. How long before you should name your baby?
Well, I'm sure the baby's named. It's just not been announced yet.
Oh, is that true? I didn't know that. I thought that they just have not named the baby yet. When we had our kids, we named Kylie immediately, but with Reese, we wanted to wait and see what she looked like, which sounds ridiculous, but we had about five or six or seven names kind of swirling around, and we just said, let's look at her for a while.
And she looked like a peanut butter cup?
She didn't look like one. We dressed her like one.
So how long did you wait?
A little over a day, about a day and a half, and it's really strange to have a human being that doesn't have a name. It was just a very odd thing. I didn't think I would ever encounter that or be responsible for that.
She lived with no labels for about 7 hours.
Right.
Poor Reese. Right. Always the second choice.
Well, it said on, I don't know what the right terminology for this is, but when a baby is born, they put a placard up above the baby. Above
it's on the bassinet and say baby left or whatever.
That's what it said. It said baby girl left. And I said to my wife, let's
baby
keep
girl.
That. I like that. That has a nice
BG.
It's kind of a weird dynamic that you named one twin right away and made the other one wait.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Names picked out?
We had we didn't know that if they would be boys or girls. So we had about six or seven girls' names and three or four boys' names, and we thought, I know this sounds ridiculous, but let's just look at the baby for a little while and decide which name seems to be the most accurate for them. Is that crazy?
No, a lot of people do that.
Do they? I didn't know if they did that or not.
I think so, but
Kylie looked like a Kylie, so we went, all right, we're halfway home. And with Reese, we just didn't know. And honestly, it would have gone later, but my parents and my wife's parents said, you know, you got to name the baby. You just can't keep calling her the baby girl. And they were right.
I bet nowadays I bet someone is going to leave it as baby girl, whatever the last name is, allowing a child to name themselves when they get older.
Right.
Don't you see that happening?
Yes. Well, you always hear about families who let the siblings come up with a name for the child.
That's how I got named.
Oh, you did, didn't
My brother you? And sister watched Peter Pan. Originally, my brother requested Henrietta, and my mom said no.
She vetoed Henrietta.
Which, if there are any Henriettas listening, I would have loved it, because I would have gone by Hank or Henry.
Oh.
My mother's name was Henrietta, and she went by Harriet.
Oh.
Yeah.
I don't see the connection there.
I don't know. She just said, I want to be called Harriet, and yeah, her whole life.
Hmm.
I don't get the connection of Jack being a nickname for John either, because usually a nickname shortens something. Jack and John are both four letters.
Right.
I don't get that.
You're not saving any time by calling John
Jack. So how
is
that a nickname?
Well, it's not always shorter. It's just less formal.
Hey, Jack. Say.
Right.
Uh-oh, here we go.
So does nobody, are there any guys named Jack where Jack is on the birth certificate, or that's just not a thing at all? Because I know there's no Saint Jack.
I know some Jacks that are Jack. It's not a nickname for John.
On the birth certificate it says Jack?
Really?
Yeah.
No kidding.
I didn't know that at all.
I think so. I never really asked them to whip out their birth certificate.
I would imagine it's John. I'd be shocked if any. I mean,
let's call Jack Klugman.
We cannot.
Oh,
sadly, we cannot. I mean, it's anything's possible. But yeah, you're right. In the pantheon of nicknames, it's very strange that John became Jack because you're not saving time at all.
I mean, John, I get.
Right. And Peg should not be for short for Margaret. That's ridiculous.
I don't get that either.
I don't know who came up with that.
Well, that comes from Peggy.
Right. But how does that relate to Margaret? Maggie even would be better. Or Margie.
Yeah.
Really, Margie would be better?
Well, different.
Well, it would make more sense.
Right.
But my brother and sister had seen Peter Pan and wanted to name me Wendy.
You're lucky your name's not Captain Hook.
It was almost Tinkerbell, too.
That's more fitting for you.
My brother is a prankster.
I could see you being named Tinkerbell. That would be perfectly normal. Who would dispute that?
No
Bill
one.
Left, Tinkerbell Snyder with you middays, WGN. Did he say Tinkerbell Snyder? Is that true?
Maybe I'll change it.
It's not too late.
And then we had names. I knew I was having a boy first, and Jim just wanted Michael. That was it. There was no. I said, "Oh, come on, that's the most popular name." Which I he said that's because it's a good name. And I said, "Your dad loved some football player named Coleman something. I don't know who it is." And he almost named my husband Jim that. And I said, "Let's go with Coleman. I love that name, Cole for short." And he's like, "Too soap opery."
And it's a little soap opery, but it's work. I like it.
And then I said, you love baseball. How about Cooper for Cooperstown?
Oh.
See, I've learned a way how to get Jim to approve something.
Right. You
make it
double
act
back
like
on
it's
him.
About
That's
him
so
and his
smart.
Love. But
That's
he
so
didn't
smart.
Approve that either. So at our shower, my sister wrote, baby Cooper, Coleman, Noah, just all the names that I had thrown out. She put all the names, crossed them out, and then Michael was the last one. Jim wanted a Michael, and I wanted Marley for Bob Marley if Dylan was a girl.
Yeah.
And he was not. And Dylan just was the next best thing.
I like that music played a role in several of your choices. Because if we had a boy, we were going to name him Oingo Boingo.
You're lucky your kids aren't taken away from you. Although I like that too.
Thank you.
Who's Fifi Trixabel? Remember, isn't that Bob Geldof's daughter?
Yeah, Bob Geldof's daughter's name that. And I bet she's thrilled.
I bet she likes it.
I wonder how many of those rock
Moon
stars
Unit.
Who name their kids weird stuff, how many, if there's any dissent in the ranks still.
Dweezil Zappa loves being Dweezil.
Yeah, I guess.
Because he would have changed his name. Talk about originality. They say if you have a unique name, Bill, that you're very original, which obviously has nothing to do with it.
I wouldn't have gone with, I mean, you know, in the 60s, nobody was being overly creative with names.
Right.
There wasn't a single kid in any of my classes that had an outrageous name.
No, it was always like parents or grandparents they were named after.
We had so many Dans, Mikes, Johns, Jims. In fifth grade, a kid named Morgan moved to our school, and we treated him like an alien. We would just stare at him because his name was Morgan. We wouldn't even talk to him. Like, where is this guy from? His name's Morgan.
That is pretty unique for back then. I mean, now I know boys and girls named Morgan.
Right.
It's a pretty common name, but back
then? Impossible.
Maybe a Kyle? Kyles were outliers.
We didn't have any Kyles, but that was a trend that was starting a few years after. But there wasn't a single kid, save Morgan, that had an unusual name in our whole school. Every kid had normal names. All right, we must take a break. A full show coming up, so stick around, please. It's Bill and Tinkerbell on WGN. Thank you, Steve. Wendy, James Callahan is a sociology teacher at a high school in Massachusetts, in Lowell, Massachusetts. And he was tired of being around kids all day who spoke what he considered to be a different language than himself. He was listening to their conversations, and they would throw in words or phrases that he just didn't understand. So what he did was he compiled a bunch of these words and phrases into what he considers to be the Generation Z slang dictionary in hopes of understanding the kids he's working around better and as a way of saying to other adults, hey, brush up on these phrases, learn what these phrases and words mean, and then you can converse more easily with teenagers around you.
All right, well, this will be very helpful for me.
Let's see how you do. Steve and Mary, you're, of course, welcome to play as well.
Dope.
All right, so
yeah, that's the word I couldn't think of.
Dope?
Yes, I was going to say, this is so dope, and I couldn't remember it.
Dope
would have brought you right back to the 1990s, I think.
Well, dope was bad. Dope was bad, but now dope is good.
Right.
Not all dope. Some dope is still bad. But for the purpose of this,
right? Dope is good. I hate that.
Yep. But also, even the word bad, remember when we were growing up, that became a thing. If something was good, it was bad.
That's right.
We're so bad.
Yes, bad. But that meant we were good. It's dope. All right, so I'll tell you the word or phrase. You guys see if you can decipher what it means by today's teenager standards.
All right.
Okay.
I'll be terrible at this.
All right. What if you're banging 30s? What if you're doing that to somebody? You're banging 30s. What does that mean?
You're turning 30.
No.
Dating a cougar?
Nope.
Wow, you went to the literal.
Very impressive, Mary.
We'll have to find the definition of banging for Mary, I guess.
Sorry. What is it again?
If you're banging 30s with somebody, what are you doing with that person?
All right, you were quick to dismiss me, Bertrand. What is it?
I don't know, but I don't have any
banging.
Idea.
You're banging 30s, yes. What does that
Jasmine,
mean?
Jasmine, do you know?
No. Wow. And Jasmine, you are 30.
She
almost.
Is?
Yeah.
Almost.
Ouch.
Oh, wow. It means you're fighting with them. I have no idea why. I don't know what the reference is at all, but if you're banging 30s with somebody, you are in a fight with that person.
That is not dope.
No, it's not, Wendy. It's undope. What if you are caking your face? What are you doing?
Putting too much makeup on.
It just says applying makeup.
Right.
So a circle gets the square.
Well, that's good. There's a little logic there, at least. We get that.
Yes.
Mary, you might remember this, but there was makeup base that was called pancake makeup.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's caking your face.
All right,
that's
why one
I
makes
just
sense.
Thought that was kind of our age type of thing.
Yep. Yeah. And Mary, you didn't mention cougars at all in that one. So good for you.
Thank you for the restraint there, Mary. It's impressive.
What does this mean? Bops. What are bops? Bops are all around us, Wendy, but what are they?
Those things where you punch each other. They're
Soccer boppers?
Yeah.
You're talking about soccer boppers? No, those
bops.
Aren't bops. Yeah, what are bops? If somebody's got some bops they want you to experience, what does that mean?
Shoes?
Nope. Mm-mm. Jasmine, bops. Nope, not shoes.
Drug related?
Nope. Mm-mm.
Socks?
Nope.
I have no idea.
No idea.
It is an enjoyable song.
Oh, because you bop to it.
Oh, yep.
Like, bop?
Yeah. Yes.
Minus the
If somebody uses the word bouta, B-O-U-T-A.
It's about a thing. It's just a slang for...
Yes, you are correct. I am about to...
Wendy's winning, I think.
Yeah, Wendy, you're way out in front.
How old are the people that use these?
These are
teenagers.
Oh,
teenagers. Kids who are currently in high school.
Okay.
All right. This is their playbook. I have stolen their playbook. Now we'll infiltrate their communities. Well, this one's too easy. Bread.
Money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's not new.
No one says that.
I don't think so either.
It's the 60s, I think.
That's right.
That's a group from the 60s.
Yes, it is.
It was 70s.
Baby, I'ma want you.
Yes.
Because you're a cougar.
Picture.
Yeah. Wendy, if you're catching a fade, what are you doing?
Catching a fade.
Yeah, you are catching a fade. What does that mean you're doing?
I'm going to go with nap.
Steve, you think napping.
Oh, that's good.
Very good idea.
Good.
Incorrect, however.
Listening.
Thank you
getting
much.
Knocked out.
She was going to say something else.
Jasmine is 100% right. That
getting
means that
knocked out?
Somebody is either punching you or knocking you out.
I'm
going to
knock you out.
Mm-hmm. That means catching a fade. I thought getting a haircut.
I was going to say because they have fade haircut.
Right. That would have been my guess. Clap back. You're involved in a clapback. What does that mean?
Does it involve cougars, Mary?
Mary, does it?
Clapback. Somebody's pushing back and not agreeing with you.
You're right on the edge of it. So
it's a mean joke. Like somebody talks about you and you say, yeah, your mama.
That's it.
All right. If anyone is still using your mama jokes.
Yeah? Then what?
Please. It's
bop them. Then I don't mean give them some downloads.
Give them a fade.
I mean. Yeah. Give them a haircut. Absolutely right.
fade and a haircut.
Two bits. Although now it's going to be 8 bits. The prices have gone way up. Stupid inflation.
God, we sound like our grandparents. All of us, except Jasmine.
If I pointed at a guy and I said, Wendy, that guy over there, that guy is clapped. That guy right there, he is clapped. What would he be?
Somebody beat him up.
Somebody beat him up, you think?
I don't know. It wasn't clap back.
Mm-mm. It does not mean that. Do you know Steve? Do you know Mary?
Well-dressed?
Not well-dressed. Nope. That guy. Look at that guy over there. He is totally clapped. Look at how clapped that guy
He's
is.
He's drunk.
Nope. Although you're getting closer.
He's high.
Very close.
He's asleep.
He is
wasted.
He is crazy.
Oh,
he is crazy.
That's not close. You're not to happy being with drunk.
That. Well,
you're crazy and you're not drunk.
You don't know that. What is crackle? If someone is crackle, what are they?
A Rice Krispie.
I love you. I love your definitions here. Oh, I love it. Look at that Rice Krispie over there. He's all crackle. Where's Pop?
No, Mary, you won't believe it is not the
correct
answer. All
right, what is it again? I could use it in a sentence.
All right, how would I use this in a sentence? That guy over there is crackling. He's totally crackling. Look at him.
What is smoking.
He, what is he?
He's
yeah.
Vaping. Vaping. He is,
yes. Yes.
Thank you very much.
How did you do that?
I have two teenage boys.
That was outstanding.
For another 3 weeks.
That was outstanding, Wendy. I was very impressed
then
with that
happened?
One.
Did you get rid of him?
No, Michael turns 20 on May 23rd, so I can't say I have two teenagers anymore.
I'm not sure kicking him out of the house.
But my 16-year-old, I still haven't heard him use any of these.
None of them? Not a single one?
No. Dope.
No, I will run off a mimeograph of these for him so he could carry it in his wallet.
Can I smell it first?
Yes. Yes. Oh, it's such a pleasant
smell. It did
smell
good, so and they were warm, and a lot of times your classrooms were cold.
So you would make a blanket out of some of them and just lay in the corner.
And sniff it.
Right.
Sniff
all right.
it good.
There are more of these. However, we are currently out of time, so we will do more of these later on during our stream presentation. You can listen to us later, and we'll do more of these slang terms that only teenagers know.
So we would like to fully welcome you, even you, Bertrand, to come join us on WGN Extra. And there's a number to call there so you don't bother Steve Bertrand. It's 312-235-2525. Jot that down. We'll wait. Get a pen. 312-235-2525, and we'll continue these Gen Z sayings that make us look old and unhip.
Yeah.
On the stream today from noon to one. All right, that music means it's a Tech Tuesday, and on the line with us right now is senior editor at CNET TV, Ashley Esqueda. Ashley, how are you?
Good. How are you guys?
First and foremost, we would like to congratulate Bridget Carey, who had her second baby, a boy named Felix.
Yes.
She did, little Felix. And if you want to see a picture of him, you can go to her Twitter feed.
And Ashley, your plan is to have a baby soon as well. You're very competitive.
Oh, my gosh.
Very competitive.
Bridget and I are going to have to trade off. As soon as Bridget comes back, I have to leave. So,
we think it would be,
I'm having a baby as well.
We think it would be adorable if you named your baby Oscar.
Oh, perfect.
Think about
it. My own little odd couple. It'll
yes.
be great. Well, they'll be bi-coastal odd couple, though, because I'm in California and Bridget's in New York.
Oh, all right.
All right, is this your first baby, Ashley?
It is my first.
Congratulations.
That's so exciting for you.
Thank you.
That's great.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's talk tech today. Where shall we begin?
I think we should talk about Apple for a second because this is, it's really funny to me, this story, a little bit. So we've heard a couple of presidential candidates talk about wanting to break up really, really big tech companies. So specifically, Elizabeth Warren has mentioned, I think that Amazon and Google and Apple, these are too big. These companies are too big, and we should really break them up because it's monopolistic, and that's not how we should have it in society. This is it's not good. So Apple, the CEO of Apple, Tim Cook, said, and when asked about it, said, you know, I think that we should be excluded from this conversation. And everybody was really curious as to why he sort of felt that way, because Apple really is, when you think about it, one of the more vertically integrated companies, especially in technology. I mean, they own the phones, they own the App Store. I mean, it is a walled garden. And you could at least say with Android, Google allows other manufacturers to build phones, right? Mm-hmm. So you have Samsung and LG. And so Tim Cook compared Apple to a corner store, a corner market, if you will, where he says, you know, it's just like we own a corner market and we get to decide what products we sell in there. And I thought that was very interesting. It was a very interesting stance to take, that Apple feels that it is sort certainly not part of that conversation,
right.
But I'm sure they would be totally fine with the government breaking up Facebook, Amazon, Google, just not them, because they're just so different.
It is a corner market if the market is the size of Seattle, right?
I mean, exactly, right?
I'll give them a point for that.
Yeah, I guess that's true. But so the idea being, you know, obviously, and the main argument that Senator Warren was making about companies like Apple is you can't own the product and the store that you sell it in, so the distribution as well. And so so she's talking about the app stores especially.
Sure.
And so she says, you know, it's just really non-competitive. And a lot of times, you know, it's tough for a lot of app makers and companies and developers to get a foothold in the app store. But, you know, Apple says, well, but we're just this kindly bodega, basically. Mm. And we get to decide what's in our store. So very interesting argument coming from Tim Cook. And I would be very curious to see how the other tech companies kind of argue against this type of regulation or breaking up as time goes on. It'll be very, very interesting to see what the arguments are against it.
All right, that's Apple. What's going on in the world of Microsoft?
Microsoft is having its Build conference this week, and it's one of their bigger conferences, and they announced HoloLens 2. And when we first saw HoloLens, it was, you know, we saw video games being played on it. I think they had a Halo demo at one point. It was kind of touted as sort of a consumer-facing piece of technology, and now they now have this HoloLens 2 headset, which is an augmented reality headset, if you're not familiar with it. It's very expensive. It's over, I believe it's $3,500. But it's being more designed at this point. Microsoft has decided they would like to go after enterprise, so companies that need to help their workers figure out how to do things. And one of our reporters, Scott Stein, got to go check it out. And he put on a HoloLens 2, and he got to get instructions placed, overlaid for him, and he fixed a bike with that. So the idea is that Microsoft would really like to, with this particular product, they'd like to kind of go forward and work with companies that need to train employees or otherwise teach them how to perform tasks in a very specific way by using HoloLens. So it's a really neat write-up, and Scott has it's a very comprehensive preview. Scott spent a lot of time with it. So they announced that. Unfortunately, their opening of the keynote for Build was supposed to be a HoloLens demo where they showed the Apollo moon landing, and it did not work at all. And so it was a little bit awkward. Nothing happened. And then the two gentlemen who are on stage trying to show it off had a little bit of an awkward moment and then left. Mm. So, but they did later upload a practice run that worked very smoothly to YouTube. So if you do want to go see what that demo looks like, you can go over to Microsoft YouTube page.
And Ashley, here's a story that's near and dear to your heart. Amazon is treating some of their pregnant workers, pregnant women, a little unfairly.
That is so not Prime.
No, it's not.
Yeah, not Prime.
What are they doing?
Although I do wish I could get one day shipping on this baby. Let me tell you, that would be great. So there have been one of our reporters has been following some pregnancy discrimination lawsuits against Amazon, and found that there were 7 complaints made recently, and 6 of those had been settled out of court. But the one that's still open, the woman had said, you know, I let my manager know that I was pregnant, and these distribution warehouses are massive. And she said, where I worked in the warehouse, it took a very long time for me to get to the restroom and then walk back. It can be a quarter of a mile walk sometimes. I mean, this can be very long walks to get to the bathroom. And because Amazon is so hyper-focused on productivity at those distribution warehouses, there are a lot of guidelines about, you know, how many breaks you can take a day or how the total amount of time you can take breaks. So maybe you get 30 minutes of breaks a day, while if you work that far away from the closest restroom, maybe you only get a few breaks a day as opposed to somebody who works closer. So she had alleged that she had requested to be moved, and Amazon had said no, they had declined that request. And then over time, basically it had become, she says, Amazon had said her pregnancy had sort of become this problem, and they let her go. So there's some allegations there of pregnancy discrimination, and they're not alone. There have been multiple, and to be fair, we see this across a lot of companies. I mean, Alfred, our reporter who has been following this story, talks about many different companies in tech that have, had pregnancy discrimination lawsuits levied against them. That's not to say that they have been found guilty of a massive class action or anything like that, but it is certainly interesting to see how Amazon sort of continues to go forward with things like one-day shipping, which they recently announced, which obviously is going to put an even bigger strain on those warehouse workers. It will be very interesting to see if they do change their policies and maybe install a few more bathrooms, I would imagine, because of things like that. Yep.
Ashley, thanks so much. We really appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, I'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of the week. Ashley Escada from CNET. Coming up, the stories that matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom right here on WGN Radio.
The year was 1972. The Clearys are at it again. Eight hungry boys making lots of noise. Life was pretty groovy back then. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Find a place to sleep and you're doing great. The kids are all right. The kids are all right.
The kids are all right.
Ba-da-ba-ba-da.
All right. I got to tell you, my friend Lisa Nelson writes for a new TV show. I said, you know what? I'm going to support you. Uh-huh. I'm going to watch it.
Yes.
The kids are all right. It's on Tuesday, 7:30 on ABC. So I watched it. It's my new favorite show.
Oh, how about that?
I love it. And the woman who plays the mom of all moms, Peggy Cleary, her name is Mary McCormick. And Mary joins us right now. Hello.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. In a nutshell, and Mary Vandeveld in Traffic, you were saying you love this show. Mary comes from a Catholic family, and that's what this is about, set in the 1970s.
Yeah, I want to be really clear that theme song that you just played is not the actual theme song.
Yeah, I never heard that before.
That was like we were making fun of like old shows in the 70s, like the Brady Bunch, when they used to do theme songs like that. So that was a promotional gag. I don't want people to listen to it and go, oh, my God, I'm not watching that.
No.
I'm disappointed hearing that, Mary, because that made me want to watch more now.
No, it's really fun. It's about, it's based on our show creator's actual life. He was one of eight boys, and our show takes place in 1972. So it's a house with 10 people in one bathroom. You know, they're not rich, and yeah, they're Irish Catholic. And it's both a sort of look at that kind of parenting, the sort of Irish Catholic kind of parenting, but also just parenting in general in the early 70s and mid-70s, like, you know, when there wasn't a lot of parenting, period.
Although, I will say this, with Mother's Day coming up this weekend, Bill and I have both lost our mothers, but Peggy Cleary reminds me of my mom in this way. My mom wasn't really mean, but we kind of had a saying in our family, like, the stranger's always right. So she would always go for anyone but her kids.
Of course, that's polite. That's Irish manners.
Yes.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So I love seeing that with Peg. It's just like, no BS. You're not going to take it. I love
tough
you.
Love. Tough love. That's my nickname in my family is tough love. My kids are like, you could take our sides against the teachers just once. I'm like, absolutely not. Dream on.
So was
there was a saying like, you know, kids should be seen and not heard.
Right.
But in Irish houses, it was kids should be not seen and not heard. Like, if you came in the house, my mom put you to work. You wouldn't even come in.
So is your portrayal of Peg kind of like your mom when you were growing up?
Definitely my mom, my aunts, you know, and all the moms in my neighborhood. I mean, they could all hit you. Remember, your neighbor's, your friend's mom could even smack you?
Now, my mom was Italian, and she had a wooden spoon that she would hit us with.
Yeah, a wooden spoon, a hairbrush, anything they could reach. Yeah. I hit the kids on the show, too. It's great.
Oh, you do? That's fun.
Yeah, I don't beat them. It's like the way you do when someone's mouthy. You whack them in the back of the head with a newspaper or a spoon or something.
We referred to that as a love tap when I was growing up.
Yeah. Good. Right. That's exactly right. Tough love.
Yeah.
It all comes back to tough love.
Yep.
But it is fun to look at that that sort of style of, I mean, no, in the show I drive in the front seat with my baby in my lap, no seatbelts. It's crazy. The 70s were crazy. It's amazing any of us lived.
It is pretty amazing. And have jarts surfaced on the show yet? Remember those lawn jarts?
What's that?
They were darts, basically, that you'd set up a little circle. Wasn't that the 70s?
Yeah.
Yep. And you would throw these dart-like
projectiles
things at, you know, your partner across and try and get it in the ring. Oh, my God. You have to have that on this show.
Okay. I'll look into that. I'm definitely going to bring in darts. It was some funny stuff that happened. You look back and you're like, God, that seemed normal at the time. It's definitely not normal. It's funny. It's fun to look back.
Now,
and it's a great group of actors. It's really fun. And it's well written. That's the thing. It's just funny. I mean, like, my kids don't have any nostalgia about the 70s, and they look forward to it every week.
So
that's
nice.
The thing. That's sort of part of the, I think, the reason for the success of the show is that, you know, people my age watch it, and we have all that sort of texture to it, that, you know, having lived through that time. And the kids watch it just because there's, like, 8 funny, you know, differently sort of sketched kids on it doing, you know, nonsense things.
Well, Mary, here's my question then. We grew up with the show The Wonder Years that was a look at the 70s, and we lived through the 70s, so for us it was kind of remembering back. But how about that for kids now who didn't live through the 70s? Do you play it a little differently knowing that a lot of this is new territory to your audience?
No, we don't sort of talk down to them at all. I think they just sort of get it. I mean, I think The Wonder Years was I think, I'm old now and don't remember a lot, but I think it was more 60s.
60s and the 70s,
also,
sure.
I think they portrayed it accurately, and even if you didn't live through it, I think good storytelling is good storytelling. My kids, honestly, I mean, I know tons of kids who watch The Kids Are All Right every week, and it's because there's 8 kids on it being really silly and really funny, and, you know, they don't care if they're in period dress.
Right.
Kids are kids, so
right.
They just like watching kids be funny, you know.
I have a 19-year-old that I watch it with every week, and he's a redhead, so he's trying to pitch to get on the show.
I love him. We have to get him on the show. He's the best.
He put an Instagram.
He
sang The Kids Are All Right by The Who. And here's the thing. Tonight, like, this show's on the bubble, so tonight you got to watch it if you haven't already.
We need everyone to watch tonight, yeah.
It's the determining factor, right, if you do some good ratings. I will say, last week you guys did live tweeting, which was so fun to be there with the stars and comment, but I had to rewatch the show because I was more into watching the tweets than the show.
I know, it's hard.
Can I suggest something, Mary, with all that's
at
stake tonight? You know, Game of Thrones is popular. What if the Clearys got a dragon? Would that be a terrible idea?
We could get a dragon,
yes.
And we could also get a Starbucks cup and leave it in the middle of the shop.
Yes.
All right, we worked in radio with Danny Bonaducci. In fact, Danny's instrumental in pairing Bill and I together on the air. So it was super great to see him on an episode. I know, that's so funny. And I know that Mark Hamill, Luke Skywalker, is a huge fan of this show. He tweets out about it a lot. If you do get a season 2, is he going to be on it maybe?
Well, I'm certainly hoping so. I was talking to him about that the other day, and he was like, well, maybe if you last till, when does Star Wars come out? He was like, if you guys last till when the Star Wars comes out, you never know.
Oh.
So we are hoping to get him on desperately, and he is a massive fan of the show. He grew up in an Irish Catholic large family, so he loves the show. But he said his wife, who is an only child, also loves it. So it really does reach everybody. But, yeah, we're going to try to get Mark Hamill on and a whole bunch of other people, too. We're not above some stunt casting. Let's go.
No.
Well, there's some stunt casting tonight, isn't there?
Is there? Oh, yes. Yes, there is.
My two worlds are colliding in a good way.
Oh, you guys are big Walking Dead people,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yes.
So a former co-star from The Walking Dead is making an appearance.
And
tonight.
I have no memory, so I'm going to space his name and forgive me.
All right, it's Josh McDermott. He played
Josh
Eugene.
McDermott, yes. You should do it, yeah.
Yeah, and of course Michael Cudlitz was Abraham, and he's
they
on the show.
They were partners on the show. They were friends on the show.
And so
I can't watch Walking Dead. Too scary for me.
I got to tell you, seeing Cudlitz as Abraham and then seeing him as this dad who, it's just...
Jarring, right?
It is jarring.
Totally
but,
different guy.
But totally, it works.
He's a great actor.
You are the funniest. I got to tell you, your delivery, and Bill, you would appreciate this. They talked about x-ray specs.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie got mailed away for some x-ray specs and masks for shut-ins. We've talked about all this stuff. This is all the stuff we grew up with.
Good references.
Yeah, there's some good stuff.
How much input do you get to your character, Mary? Are you allowed to say, let's try it this way, I would do it this way? Is that allowable?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, I mean, it's so well written, you don't need to change lines, really. But yeah, if there's something that feels funny, all the writers are super collaborative. And And you know, yeah, I can say, oh, I think it's funnier to do it like this, and they're usually on board. There's no one's too precious.
And I got to tell you, you know, sometimes you wonder about kid actors, and with them being eight of them, although the baby doesn't really matter, these kids are all so funny.
They're pretty good. I know. Like, I was ready to, you know, judge, because kid actors, I'm on board with you, but they're pretty good. And they're also nice, which is annoying. I mean, I'm sure one of them's going to go off the deep end eventually. We'll have someone's going to Betty Ford. We just don't know which one yet.
Mary, before we head on, we were saying that the first time either Wendy or I became aware of you was Private Parts, the Howard Stern. Please tell me that was a pleasant experience for you.
It was good. That's the best job I've ever had. Howard Stern is still one of my best friends. And yeah, it was a great experience, and I'd never done a big movie before, and it was just it's a great part to play, and he's just the nicest, and the crew was laughing all day, and he's so protective of me still. I mean, still to this day, I think because radio has no eyes, I mean, young men still think I'm hot, and I'm like 50, I'm thrilled with it, because the way he talks about me to this day is pretty great.
Good. And then the other thing I need to ask you about, of course, is Scooby-Doo WrestleMania Mystery.
Oh, yeah. Funny, what if you did a deep dive? You did a deep IMDb dive. Yeah, that happened too. I did a cartoon, a voice in a cartoon. I think I was a bad guy.
Yep, I was a big fan.
Sure I ever saw that one.
No, it was tremendous.
Good. I'll find it and make my 7-year old watch it, even if she doesn't want to.
A bunch of texts coming in. When Mary's on, can you please ask her about In Plain Sight? It's my favorite show of all time, and
yay.
I was devastated when it went off the air.
I know. Well, we did 5 years. I was devastated too, because I loved that part. That was another great part. She was very similar to Peggy Cleary, pretty grouchy. I get a lot of grouchy parts, which makes me wonder what people see in me. A lot of anger.
708 says, best new show on TV. Love it. 281 says, Peggy says all the things our moms were thinking. It's awesome.
Yes. That's my favorite part. One episode, I literally said, my husband came into the room, and I'm trying to put the baby to sleep, and he comes in kind of loud, and I go, if you wake this baby, so help me God, I will beat you to death with this baby.
That's the best.
And every mom has been there. Every mom has been there.
Slightly severe, but I could see where it would come in.
That's happens.
Right. Yep.
Hard to get a baby down.
847, the show's brilliant. The cast is amazing. I love this show. So all these people that are texting, and then some, please watch tonight. You can pick it up tonight. You don't have to have seen the first ones, or you can watch it on Hulu and get caught up. But just watch The Kids Are All Right. Really love this show.
Yay, thanks.
And Mary, they said to you point blank, tonight's show does well, you get picked up. Tonight's show doesn't do well, you don't. It didn't come down to that,
they
did it?
No. Right. And who knows what they're really, you know, they keep their cards pretty close. You don't know what they're thinking. We may already be in good shape. We haven't had a formal pickup, but lots of shows haven't had a formal pickup yet. So, but we're hopeful. And you know, yes, the more people who watch tonight, the more ABC looks at that and goes, oh, wow, okay, their audience is building and their fans are loyal. And, you know, this show's connecting with people. And that is the good news. Everyone who watches the show comes back, which is great. Like, people watch it, and we don't get sort of mixed reviews. We get people really enjoy it. So it's just a matter of people finding it and then telling their friends. Tell your friends.
Yep.
And, I mean, just some of the references, Bill, they go off on the whole Jerry Lewis telethon and everything. It's just really our lives coming to the screen.
Oh, that sounds
and I
great.
Was super excited because I had this Noah's Ark quilt that I got from my cousin Susie. And, oh, my God, that was in an episode.
There it is. I know. I walk around the set, too, going, I had that. I had that.
Just a super big fan. Good luck with the show.
Thank you.
Hope to talk to you again when it's been renewed for season number two.
Gosh, I hope so too. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Mary. Great
appreciate
to talk
it.
To you.
All right. Bye.
Mary McCormick from The Kids Are All Right. Watch it tonight.
7:30.
Or she'll have to leave her house and her kids and stuff. It's terrible.
I'm a little fangirl about her. I just really love her.
You always talk about how much you love the show. So, I mean, I'm hoping like crazy that it does get renewed. That'd be nice.
You can follow them at The Kids Are All Right ABC on Instagram. She's Mary McCormick. She's on Instagram, too. And watch it tonight, ABC, Chicago time, 7:30, Tuesdays. Watch it. The Kids Are All Right. Quick break. Shall we do it?
Yes.
Why am I speaking like Yoda? All right. It's Bill and Wendy on 720 WGN.
Here's some music.
Oh, thank you.
Yep.
Boy, you're a DJ.
Yes. I'm doing birthday parties now, Wendy. Do you need me for a birthday party?
Sure.
I'm in.
I love talking to Mary McCormick. I'm a big fan, but I'm also a big fan of Tony Fulmer. He's the chief horticultural officer at the Chalet Nursery. Hey, Chief.
Yeah.
Officer. Should I salute him?
Yes, you should definitely salute him. I have a question for you. I mean this very sincerely. Sometimes we'll have a guest on, like Mary McCormick, and then when they're done, you say, as you did with Mary McCormick, I love her, I want to be her. But then other times we'll be talking about somebody, Kelly Clarkson would be a good example.
Oh, she's going to be my best
friend.
And you'll
say, I would like her to be my best friend. How do you decide when there's somebody you admire if you want to, A, either be them, or B, be their fake best friend?
Okay, first of all, I know a lot of people that are using, instead of BFF, they are using FBF because of you. And
FBF,
I don't like fake
friend. Best friend, right.
Although I kind of like that you coined a new...
But how do you decide, like when there's somebody on of some stature that you admire, what makes the difference between you want to be them or you want to be their fake best friend?
All right. Mary McCormick is a great actor, and I think she is way above me, and I don't think she would have me as a friend.
Oh, but Kelly Clarkson.
Kelly Clarkson is a great performer, and I would just like to help her out backstage if she needed a shoulder rub or something, just to, you know.
Yeah.
Not in that way, just to kind of go, come on, you go, girlfriend.
Right.
I feel like we could hang out. And plus, she lives in Nashville, I believe, Kelly Clarkson, not originally born and bred there. I feel she's more accessible.
Oh, I get that. Okay.
I mean, an L.A. superstar.
Oh, yeah.
She worked with Howard Stern, Mary McCormick.
Right.
She's not going to hang out
with
little old me.
She wouldn't hang out with you, but she would let you become her.
I just think she's really great. Her delivery is super great on the show. I think she's attractive, and I like everything about her.
All right.
And I like all Kelly Clarkson stuff, too.
Yeah.
But it's just
interesting that you separate them, and I couldn't do it. I marvel at it. Good for you.
I think Kelly Clarkson's more accessible.
Oh, as a fake best friend.
That hurts me. Is Tony Fulmer your real best friend?
Yes. Well, no. Grant Mulvey is my real best friend, but Tony Fulmer's in the top 18, so good for him. So he'll be on in just a little bit. Tell us what's cooking over at Panda Express. It's coming up in a little bit.
Every time.
Yep. All right. Stick around. More ahead. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Ah, that is the sound of Tony Fulmer whistling while he plants.
In mud.
Hi, Tony. How are you?
I'm terrific.
So good
to
see you.
Better to see you both.
Tony brought us gifts, Wendy, which we encourage all our guests to do, Tony, but very few follow
Low
through.
Low cash value, no doubt.
Thank you so much.
All right. He had me open mine first, although you gave me bills.
Yes, unfortunately.
These are
they
very nice.
Mixed up in the bag.
All right. Well, it's a name tag from the chalet, like a real honest-to-goodness one, and it says, Wendy, head gardener.
And mine says, Bill, sporticulturist. Which is like horticulturist, but with a bend towards sports.
A reference to my last appearance
here
when you tried to trick me. And
yes, I did. Yes. I did try to trick
you. He always tries to trick you. And,
you're too smart for me.
Not really.
There's already a text, what is Tony's favorite panda meal?
Oh, that's a good idea. Because
well,
you
if I want to be literal, that would be bamboo.
Tony. The Chalet Nursery is located right across the street from Panda Express. It'd be silly to not
You don't
visit.
Say.
Yeah, they are.
And it's not like you mention that every time.
Yes, I do.
I know he's getting coupons. I know he's getting coupons for rice. I just
Bill
know
smells it. Like orange chicken. I wonder why.
I'll tell you, that would be a nice little scent to have.
Yeah,
because once you smell it, you want it. When
it
you
is.
Want people to say that about you,
yes.
Once I smell Bill, I want him.
Yeah, please say that about me.
All right, Tony is the chief horticultural officer at Chalet Nursery, and it is that time of year. It's allegedly spring.
Allegedly.
We don't know that yet. There's been a lot of damage. This was a rough winter. It was wet. It was cold. What's happening out there?
The problem is that it was the cold was sustained. It just went on and on and on. And the thing that we're seeing most on are evergreens because they have a leaf surface and needle surface. And so basically what happens is when the ground freezes and you have that combination of winter sun and winter wind, either from the northwest or from the southwest, it just constantly pulls moisture out. The plants are what we call transpiring. They're losing water. And if they can't replace it, the plants literally are freeze-dried. So that's what's happening to lots.
Even an evergreen, Tony, that could happen to an evergreen?
Especially an evergreen.
Because really? They've got,
they've got
hardy.
Yeah.
But they've got leaves they've got that leaf surface
exposed
that the deciduous trees drop, so they're reducing their exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge problem. But then on top of that, there is also an insect problem. So people are confused about what the symptoms are. So typically, what we're seeing, the question I'm asking people is, did the plants look good going into the winter in last fall? And or did the damage just show up in March or April? And if the plants look great going into the fall and just showed up in March or April, then you have to be suspicious of winter damage, particularly if the plants are in exposed location again where they get a lot of unbridled winter wind that's just going to dry the plants out.
I have three boxwoods that I've put around my, I believe it's a cornelian cherry tree.
Ooh.
Yes, so there's
good
three because three is prettier, an odd number is a prettier arrangement.
You always say that, right, Tony?
I do.
Go with an odd number.
We've talked about that before. You remember, right, Bill?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. I take notes.
Okay.
Up here where it doesn't count.
There'll be
count.
A quiz at 12 o'clock.
That's
and we'll
fine.
See. Okay.
I'm ready.
One of the three of my boxwoods is not doing well. It's brown. What happened?
Okay. Is it all on one side
yes.
of the plant? And is that the plant or the plants in a line? Is that the one that is most exposed
yes.
to the wind? Okay. So basically, it stood forward and took the hit, and the plants behind it, just that little bit of
it
additional protection.
Them.
Yes. Yes.
Wow. So
yes.
people are having a lot of boxwood troubles?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Was it polar vortex related?
It was absolutely. You know, minus 29
yeah.
is history making, and it wasn't just, it just didn't dip down for one night. We were below 15 below for days and days and
yeah.
days on end. And so basically, we are USDA hardiness zone 5,
mm-hmm.
which is the worst temperature is supposed to be about minus 10.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got to minus 30 in effect. So that is like going up to Minnesota.
Right.
And these plants, as hardy as they are, they're not bred for sustained temperatures like that that go on for days and days and days.
The insects that you spoke about a couple minutes ago.
Boxwood leaf miner.
What are those exactly?
It is kind of, it's not for the squeamish. Basically, the best analogy I can give you is you have a boxwood leaf, and it's a little bit like a sandwich, and the insect gets in between the upper and lower leaf surfaces, and it eats out, it tunnels back and forth in there, and eats all of the important tissue. So it's like eating a sandwich and eating out the middle and leaving the bread.
Oh.
So when you hold up the leaf to the light, it's translucent,
oh.
and you can see through it, and you can see the tunnels. The primary difference when you look at a plant, whether it has boxwood leaf miner or whether it has winter damage, there will be blistering or blisters or little pops.
Yeah.
And most often, if you had leaf miner on the plant last year, there will still be little bits of green because they didn't completely eat out everything in the leaf.
Can a plant rebound from that? Or once that happens, is it all
over?
Well,
the problem is many plants have both.
Yeah.
And so... shameless plug, if you want to see great pictures, I did a blog post on the Chalet website about battered boxwood, and I got great pictures courtesy of the Ohio State.
Yeah.
Buckeyes, as
you remember from last time.
Absolutely. So people can help. That may help people delineate which they have. But again, the big thing is if you had symptoms last fall and you didn't have them, you have them now, it's... It just happened over the winter.
Inevitable.
They're just showing up.
All right.
But a lot of people have both.
You can go to chaletnursery.com and look for the blog, and there it is. Boxwood looking battered.
Boxwood looking battered.
Grass. People are texting in. I have some grass issues. Our backyard was pretty much underwater a lot mm-hmm. of the winter. It's been raining a lot. The ground was really saturated, so the water had nowhere to go. And I noticed like our backyard is mud.
Right.
It seems, as I looked yesterday, that grass is trying to sprout up. What do we do? Is now a good time to plant? How do we work on this?
So the standard turf grasses, the Kentucky bluegrass that likes sun and our fescues that like shade, are cool season grasses, and they're happy with cool, but they need oxygen just as our lungs do. So when the soil is so completely saturated, or if they're standing underwater for long periods of time, that affects the root system really, really dramatically. And on any plant, if the root system is compromised, the plant is going to show symptoms one way or the other. So what we need is we need it to dry out a bit. We need to get some oxygen to the soil, to the root system. And the other thing is that the biggest component of grass, of turf, is nitrogen. And so when we use fertilizers, they have nitrogen, and that's what promotes green growth and green color. But nitrogen is also the most mobile element in the soil. So you can put fertilizer down, and if it's in a soluble form and starts raining, that nitrogen just goes right on down through past the root system. Mm-hmm. So that's another, aside from the fact that there's lack of oxygen, this constant rainfall leaches the nitrogen, which the plant needs to produce new blades of grass.
You should be the chief horticulturist somewhere, because you know your stuff.
You know, I might consider that.
Yeah, you should.
Maybe
definitely.
Panda Express.
You know, you two should take it over to the Catskills.
We're talking about that, Wendy. I know you're joking, but we're looking at that.
Real quickly, we'll do a question and then we'll get to more of them. 312-981-7200. Tony's on the line. Tony.
Hi. Thanks for having him as a guest. It's real interesting. My magnolia tree this year did not bloom for the second time in 3 years. Last year was magnificent. 3 years ago, it didn't do anything. This year, it more or less fizzled. There were a couple blooms, but nothing. It's a large tree, and it's an older tree. Is this something I should be concerned about?
The one thing that you need to look at, there is an insect problem called magnolia scale, and it's pretty debilitating. Do you have any branches, or have you noticed any dieback periodically, like every spring when the plant leaves out? Is there a branch or two that you're missing?
No, but I did have it trimmed a little last year, and I do have a lot of suckers coming up all over the existing thicker branches.
But this is a mature, established tree, and it gets good sun.
Yes, oh yes,
okay.
Definitely.
The other thing you have to be concerned about is if it's pruned at the wrong time of year, that blooms so early, it's blooming on the growth that it makes in July, August, September. So if you're pruning that needs to be pruned within a month, no later than 6 weeks after that finishes blooming, because any pruning later than that will affect developing buds for the following spring.
So will it ultimately catch up? Like, because I groomed, I did my lilac bush and had one flower 1 year, and now I've waited, and it kind of seems like it came back.
It's exactly the same thing. It's all about the pruning, and so if you prune too late for the early spring bloomers, then you lose that year. But if you get back in sync and prune properly, if you have to prune at all, then the plant should be fine the following year.
Tony, keep your fingers crossed.
I will.
Thank you.
All Tonys.
All Tonys will.
Every Tony listening. Yep. More with Tony Fulmer from the Shelley Nursery in Wilmette. If you have a question or comment, 312-981-7200. All right. You talked me into it, Wendy. I wasn't going to.
Well,
it sounds,
you have to.
Sounds enticing. Tony Fulmer is here. Speaking of enticing, he's the chief horticulturist at the Shelley Nursery in Wilmette. Go visit Tony. Very, very knowledgeable. Tony, a lot of people texting in with questions. Here's a good one from 630. Can I prune dead red oak branches now?
Yes.
All right. Can I ask your answers be shorter and more succinct, please? Yes.
Can I trim my hydrangea now? I left the big heads on them during the winter, and
yes,
now...
Yes, immediately. You want to do that immediately. Now, are you talking about Annabelle, the big
yes.
softball-like one? Yeah, you want to do that right away.
Ooh. Yeah. So I'm too late?
No, just get to it. No, just get to it. But the thing about that is, Wendy, don't cut them back. A lot of people take that all the way back down to the ground, which you can do, but that's when the plant is more apt to be floppy.
Flimsy.
And floppy.
Yes,
because it's all new softwood, so it tends to flop when you get that big head on it, big flower head on it later in the summer. So I tend to take them back more to a half so that you have a heavier stem coming out.
I want to just say that Tony gave me the best advice
what
for the Annabelle
this?
Hydrangea. You start with the tallest trim
in the
middle, and that like in the middle of the mm-hmm. plant, and then you kind of taper it so it lays nicer. Mm-hmm. I did it. It's great. Thank you for that advice.
You're welcome.
Tony, here's a question from 847. How do I control or eliminate Lily of the Valley?
Yes, it's taken over people's yards. Goldenrod, too. I planted one thing of it. It's all over.
Goldenrod or buttercup? Because right now what we're seeing is we're seeing a lot of buttercup. So when you have these really aggressive things...
Are lilies of the valley?
Lilies of the valley are aggressive, but they're moderate compared to other things. So if you wanted to get rid of Lily of the Valley, depending upon how big it is, to be organic about it, what I would do is dedicate a nice weekend to that.
Yeah.
And just sit down and make sure the soil is moist, and then you just start digging and you filter it up. It's nice if you have a little soil sieve.
Yeah.
And you put the soil in there and you shake it back and forth, and then that way you're not picking roots out. You can actually pick out the stems and you can pick out the little roots and throw them away.
Oh.
But it's tedious, but that's what you have to do.
How do I control or eliminate Lily Tomlin? That's a weird question.
Don't pay her.
Oh, God. So goldenrod, it has like a fluffy kind of thing at the top right now. Yes. So that's goldenrod. They're really toy.
From last summer or fall.
Yeah,
yes.
I planted one area and it's all over my yard now, and I've just been ripping the root up.
So what you have to do on things like that, if you want things, a lot of our native plants, that's how they're successful, is that they seed really heavily. So if you want to do that, but you don't want to have that kind, to have them in sod the following year from 10,000 seedlings, then you go ahead and as soon as they finish, but before they set seed, you deadhead them and take those flowers off. Now, there are those people that, you know, if you like to feed birds, a lot of birds, a lot of insects feed on these plants. So there's that, you know, you're trading certain things to not have sod of 10,000 this or that the following year by leaving the heads up, seed heads.
There's another text here that I'm having a problem with. Bill, I don't know if your wife Terry is. Violets have taken over all of our flower beds.
That's a bad thing, huh? Violets sound like it'd be
they're
a good
pretty,
thing,
though.
But that's
no,
a bad
thing.
No,
they're not. No? Violets are one of the very, very worst lawn weeds. And any time when you dig one up, there's a little tiny, it's called a corm, but it's basically it's like a little bulb. And the problem with that is there's all kinds of stored food in that. So you can use something, you can use a standard weed killer that will knock the top off, but there's stored food in there, so that plant is going to try and survive, so it will try and push back up again. So
dig it out?
Well, no, because if you break it in a tiny little piece, it will. I mean, you can do that if you just have a few of them, but over time, what you have to do is if you have a large amount of it, you use a weed control product, but you're going to have to use it probably several times because you have to keep burning that. You have to take that foliage off. And you have to exhaust the stored foods that are in that little bulb. Otherwise, it's get the dandelion digger out. But the soil's got to be moist. You've got to pop that little bulb out.
I got so much popping to do because they've taken over the whole like muddy portion of my garden mm-hmm. that I haven't planted yet. Mm-hmm. And weed killer is poisonous to dogs, correct?
But you don't want to do that. Yes. So out you go with some nice warm Saturday, if that ever happens again.
Yeah.
With your dandelion digger and
spend the day.
Start popping.
Yeah.
All right. Really quickly, Karen's been on hold. Karen, Tony Fulmer here.
Hi, Karen.
Hi. Hi there. We planted about 30 arborvitae evergreen for a barrier between properties last fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, most of them all have brown spots on them. And I looked it up, and it says something like winter burn. Is mm-hmm. there something we can do, or are they going to be okay?
That's a little bit about like what we were talking about earlier. Does it tend to be on one side of the hedge or the screen?
I think so, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, that's very much like what we were talking about with the boxwood. You had plants that just didn't have a chance to get established, and so they hadn't rooted out, especially with these larger plants, like 6 or 7 or 8 footers.
Right.
Okay. So
yeah,
Okay. So you had all of that surface area, and you had a limited root system, and so those plants were particularly stressed because they just didn't have a root system, and they weren't able to get enough moisture to replace what was lost in all of that top above ground top. So all you can do is make sure that they're well mulched. If you want to feed very lightly, you could use something like Hollytone. We like that.
Okay.
And if we get into hot, dry weather, make sure the plants get supplemental water, but definitely mulch them. And you're going to just have to cut those brown patches out. That's not going to green up again.
Good luck.
So
I hope they
out.
Yes, cut those
I
out.
I do too. We spent a lot of money. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, that is. I know a lot of people line their yard with that, and if mm-hmm. you know, you have 20 of them and they've turned brown, so there is a chance it might come back.
Well, the question is, by the time she prunes that out, you know, and you have a hole here and a hole here and a hole here, how aesthetically pleasing is it? You're going to like kind of weave things together so much when you have big holes in a 7 or 8 foot plant.
Yeah, but then you could buy a new arborvitae and
you could do that as well.
Kind of fill it in instead of buying like
well,
all
no,
20.
No, no. Well, you mean individual plants?
Yeah,
yeah. It's funny when rabbits get in there. Rabbits will stand on top of snow and stand on their hind legs and eat hedges of arborvitae along the bottom. And so people come in a lot and say, "Okay, I don't have anything for the first 3 feet. what can I plant under there to cover that up?" That's a question we don't like to get.
Yeah,
but.
You're amazing. You know that. He's Tony Fulmer. Check out his blog. You can go to chaletnursery.com and click on the blog. And it's about boxwood looking battered because there's more text that maybe they didn't hear the first part of our show.
Sure.
Chaletnursery.com. What's the address again?
3132 Lake Avenue.
I'm a head gardener at the chalet. Bill, what are you?
Chief horticulturist, Wendy.
Oh, I should have put chief on there.
I already wrote it in.
Okay.
Pencil.
Thank you so much. It's always a pleasure.
It's my pleasure.
We couldn't get all the texts and questions, so you just are going to have to go to the Chalet Nursery and ask for Tony Fulmer. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Tony.
My pleasure.